Right, Galatians chapter 1. Okay, we're going to begin Paul's letter here to the Galatians. Okay, these were those whom he stewarded earlier, and writing this letter was to put him in mind a responsibility to the covenant of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, as he writes this letter, he's also going to bring to our attention various doctrines that were already challenging the early church as a doctrine of Nicolaitans. And that has to do with trying to exhibit one's faith, okay, through the precept of Moses. One's trying to exhibit his faith in Jesus Christ through the precept, see, of that first covenant which Moses gave. Okay, now the Apostle Paul, the first thing he does is identify, okay, his stewardship and his responsibility to that stewardship, okay, and identifying his calling as an apostle. He wasn't putting himself in a position of rank, but again, responsibility. Okay? And the apostle's office is a calling and not a virtue. And the reason why I say it's not a virtue is because the Apostle Paul also has to go through the cycles of growth, okay, as anyone else does. Okay, so here the Apostle Paul is first identifying, okay, his stewardship. Now his stewardship is to these people right here. Okay, if an individual was to pick this letter up and make application to themselves apart from the government of God in this present stewardship, okay, of the Apostle Paul, he would read these letters, okay, through the lenses of his own moral code. And reading these things through the lenses of his own moral code, he will come up with a different conclusion and definition of Scripture, okay, than that which the Apostle Paul had assigned to these things, as concerning grace, peace, faith, mercy, righteousness. Okay, the moral code assigns a different definition, okay, to these elements. And because it does that, okay, these elements are then contaminated. Okay, and being contaminated, their faith cannot be made perfect. Okay, so here the Apostle Paul is penning this letter to those who are under his stewardship. Okay, and now under the apostolic governance, okay, these scriptures are applicable, but outside of apostolic governance, see, these scriptures are not applicable. Okay, so here the Apostle Paul identifies his calling. Okay, Paul, an apostle not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Okay, Paul is identifying that his gospel is not in the pursuit of the affairs of man or for world peace. Okay, his gospel is being preached as concerning God's interests, not man's interests, but God's interests. And that's why it's called the gospel of Jesus Christ and not the gospel of Adam. The gospel of Adam addresses his issues and his relationship. His relationships, his struggles, okay, his struggles with holiness, his struggles with faith, his struggles with righteousness. Okay, that would be the gospel of Adam. Okay, but the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay, addresses, see, those things, okay, which build his kingdom, and that is, of course, the priesthood of Jesus Christ, okay, that we're following in the same steps of Jesus, and that is after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, so he says here, neither by man but by Jesus Christ, right, and God the Father. Okay, so you might want to highlight the word God the Father, because he's identifying that he is governing our destiny through this witness, okay, the Father. Okay, now the Father empowers the record. The witness empowers the record. The Father empowers the Son. And we can see this relationship played out, okay, in Jesus' earthly ministry. Okay, how the Father empowered the Son. Okay, even at Jesus' baptism, okay, the heavens were open, and a dove, okay, or a light in the form of a dove came down from heaven and lighted upon Jesus, and then a voice said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Okay, the Father was empowering the Son. The witness empowers the record. Okay, and we can see this also played out, you see, in the Numbers. Okay, not the book of Numbers, but in Numbers, as concerning the number 7 and the number 10. Okay, as concerning the empowerment and the system. In the apartment system, the Father and the Son. Okay, the witness and the record. Now here he says, God the Father, he's governing our destiny that by this empowerment. But the empowerment is found in the record. Now, if a man say he loves God, but is not following the design pattern of Jesus' record, he's a liar. Because his empowerment is not from God, but it is empowered by another spirit called seducing spirit. As God empowers his record, so Satan also empowers the moral code of man. Empowerment of the moral code has to do with a form of inspiration that looks right and feels right, but it's from a perspective of death. But the empowerment of God, of course, continually gives witness of the light and life of Christ. So God the Father who raised him from the dead. When he says here, raised him from the dead, he's saying that this knowledge and this power is not that which is of the earth. It's not worldly. It's not founded in the record of man or the moral code of man, but is found in the power of God, which is the rhythm of the Spirit. Who raised him from the dead shows the rhythm of the Spirit is greater than the rhythm of the flesh. The rhythm of nature is subject to the commands of God. Now Jesus displayed this when he rebuked the winds and the sea. When the ship was about ready to be swamped, when Jesus was in the boat with his apostles, when the ship was about at that point of being swamped, flooded with water to sink, Jesus, getting up, rebuked the winds and the sea, and they became calm. The empowerment of the Father through the record, which is the rhythm of the Spirit, is greater than that which is the pattern of nature. Because God set law in nature, and God sets law in faith. And we're following that law of faith. That law of faith is greater than that which is found in the law of sin and death. Because the law of sin and death is that which is born in the soil. But the law of faith, or in that law of grace, the liberty of our faith, is found in the pattern of the Spirit. Now look at verse 2 here. Now when he says the word brethren right here, he's identifying those who are supping at the same table. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, which is a province there, a province where a lot of earlier on, many were scattered in that area, but they were then brought back in the government of God, through the letters of Peter and James. They are brought back into the house of refuge, which is the government of God. The government of God is the house of refuge. Which is an appointment by God that those which be engrafted into this, into this house, would be saved. So the churches of Galatia. Now in verse 3, again he's talking about the elements. The elements of God. Now Paul is identifying these elements from God's perspective. And these words were granted to us for the purpose of understanding this mystery. Now the mystery of iniquity is concealed in the moral code of Adam. Why the mystery of Christ is concealed in those of faith. The enlightened soul carries that mystery of Christ because Christ is hid in you. Christ is hid and is hid in you. That is that mystery, and that is the working of righteousness. Is in that mystery. Now the Apostle Paul speaks of this mystery of concerning Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's a mystery of God's empowerment, the empowerment of your faith, because of your willingness to take on the yoke of this record. And taking on the yoke of this record crucifies the empowerment of the moral code. Now the empowerment of the moral code is seducing spirits. That's the kingdom of darkness, the principalities and powers of the air. All right, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience, as the Apostle Paul brings out. But our empowerment is from the throne of God, which brings the light and life of Christ. It is, and this is a preparatory stage, for the inheritance, as we are being prepared with life unto life, which is also our cycles of growth, life unto life, grace unto grace. But those which are absent of this light and life of God, are continually their moral code is being inspired by the seducing spirit. And it goes from death into death, iniquity into iniquity. Because it loops within itself. Okay, which is the conflicts are in that in the looping of death into death. That's where the conflict lies in the moral code. Okay, whereas our cycles of growth, okay, are those things which concern the record of Christ. Okay, which concerns the circumcision of the heart. So here he begins his letter here with the word grace. Okay, again, the word grace has to do with illumination and enlightenment and revelation, okay, inspiration and empowerment. Okay, this is what proceeds from the heart of God. Okay, now the word grace, okay, is also identified with the oath of God. That's why it's empowered. Okay, the knowledge of God is empowered by His Spirit. Okay, because the knowledge of God is found in His bosom. Okay, this is where Christ came from. Okay, because Jesus Himself is the voice of the Lord. He's the oath of God, and He's the Word of God. Okay, He is God's vow towards us. And that's why the Lord says, I am the Lord, and I change not. Okay, I cannot recall my vow, and neither can I change my vow, because my vow is what I am. Okay, I can't change what I am, okay, because I am life. Now, I can't change myself from life to death. Okay, so here, the word grace has to do with that form of empowerment of this revelation. Now, when we put aside the barriers to grace, now what would be the barriers of grace? Okay, where the barriers of grace would be found, okay, in those things which are the moral code. Now, the moral code itself is a power in the soul. Okay, and that power in the soul, okay, contributes, you see, to the social environment. Okay, where it dwells, the social environment where it dwells, it contributes to those things which are earthbound. We see this in the book of Ecclesiastes, okay, as concerning the spirit of man. Okay, and the Apostle Paul also quotes the same thing. For what knows man things of man, see the spirit of man which is in him. Okay, now that has to do with the moral code, and the moral code contains the signature. Okay, the signature of man, okay, which God has assigned for the fulfillment of this dimension. Okay, but not for righteousness. It was assigned to the fulfillment of this dimension. Okay, the skills, the talents, okay, that will accompany this vessel of flesh, okay, and an expression of that in this dimension. Okay, whether it be singular intelligence or penetrating mind, youth or wisdom, okay, or purity, okay, or craftiness or much or large estates. Okay, or whatever is assigned to this vessel for the purpose of economics, okay, and social involvement, but nothing for righteousness. Okay, so what man knows the things of man, say the spirit of man which is in him, even so the things of God knows no man but the spirit of God. Okay, no, but God has assigned us another power. That power is grace. Okay. And this, of course, the Apostle Paul goes on in his explanation there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. Now, the deep things of God has to do with the hidden things of God. Okay, it's deep. And the reason why it's deep is because it's concealed in him. Okay? And these things which are hidden in him has been assigned to us to understand and to grow by. Okay, for the hidden things belong to God, but that which is revealed belongs to us. Okay, as the Lord revealed to Moses. Okay, so what he said to Moses, Moses, what I have assigned to you at this present time is only temporary. Okay, but what I have assigned to you is in types and shadows as myself when I come down to you. Okay, what is assigned to you is temporary and is in part. But when I come down to you, I'll explain these things to my people, and as concerning my fullness. Okay, now even Jesus said himself that many wise men and righteous men and many kings have desired to know the things that you know and to hear those things which you have heard and have not known them nor heard them. And Jesus was speaking himself that they have desired to penetrate these mysteries. Okay, but these mysteries cannot be penetrated, okay, by the tools that are in part. Okay, you cannot know me with physical things. That's what the Lord was saying to Moses. Okay, Moses, you cannot know me with physical things. Okay, but all things as concerning what I will fulfill will be found in the lives of these people, those of the old covenant, the lives of these people, the events, okay, the types and the shadows, okay, the construction of the tabernacle, Okay, the tools of the tabernacle, the priests of the tabernacle, okay, and the life and the choices of those which went before you, as Enoch and Noah and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and the patriarchs. Okay, that the mystery of God is unfolded, okay, through these things. Now these things, okay, are that which we read in our Bible. Okay, not only is it historically correct. Okay, but these were real people that lived during these weeks and periods of time. Okay, but they all were to unfold the mystery of Christ, that when Christ would come, okay, as the woman at the well even knew this, when Christ comes, he will tell us all things, and that's what Jesus was doing. That's right, I'm going to tell you all things, but the things that I'm going to reveal to you proceeds from me, not from this well of water here. Okay, now if you believe the knowledge which I give unto you, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus speaking himself. My knowledge will flow forth from my Father's bosom for your nourishment. Okay, that is if you embrace me and follow my record. Okay, now we know that is a progressive revelation, because not only Jesus was assigning that to the present time, okay, when he was speaking these things, but also in the hearts of all the saints, following the day of Pentecost, okay, and also it's going to assign another future time as in a third covenant. Okay, so grace be unto you and peace. Now, the grace of God is to continue to join us to him. Now, we discussed many times as concerning there's two types of peace. Okay, there's the peace which the world seeks after, which has to do with resolving conflicts and circumstances. Okay, that's the gospel of man. Okay, when he speaks peace here, as the Apostle Paul is writing to the saints here, he's speaking about the peace of Jesus. Okay, now Jesus spoke of two different peace. He says, "My peace I give you, not as the world gives give I unto you, but my peace I give you." Okay, which has to do with the peace which Jesus gives has to do with that confidence of faith, knowledge which assists you. Okay, and confidence of faith. Okay, it has nothing to do with circumstances. It has to do with concerning relationship between you and me. My peace concerns relationships between you and me. Okay, but the peace of the world is concerning resolving conflict. Okay, and the world that tries to resolve conflict is admitting to the fact that it is contrary to me. The moral code is hostile against God. And Jesus brings this out to his apostles as concerning, he says, "Remember the word that I said unto you. Okay, if they have persecuted me, they also persecute you. Okay, if they hated me, they are also going to hate you. Okay, because of the word that I have given to you. The knowledge which I give you, okay, is not for the purpose, okay, of establishing a memorial and heritage in this dimension of sin. Okay, it's to establish a memorial and heritage in my Father's bosom. Okay, and because I'm identifying, okay, this and making discernment between these two kingdoms, Satan is going to make war against you. Because Satan was able to conceal himself in the mystery of iniquity. Okay, because iniquity, the mystery of iniquity, okay, has to do with the moral code. Okay, how the moral code can express itself in portions of piety. Okay, and exhibit itself as righteousness. Okay, and follow its own inspirations as justification. Okay, so even Jesus said himself, "The time will come that whosoever kills you will think he does God service." So you can see how Satan reversed, okay, and redefined the elements of the gospel. Okay, and that those which are of Satan's kingdom, okay, divine these elements in the same light, okay, as they've been spawned in. Okay, those of the kingdom of darkness interpret the scriptures in the light of the moral code. Okay, so everything to them has to do with, okay, wealth and health, okay, stability of time, okay, and leaving themselves a memorial, okay, a memorial, will it be in stone or an achievement, okay, or in word or deed, okay, not the word and deed of God's kingdom, but the word and deed of their own kingdom. So here we see the word grace and peace. So God empowers our faith. Okay, without the grace of God, our faith has nothing to work with. Okay, but because God has provided us richly and abundantly his knowledge, okay, we now have something to reciprocate. Okay, so grace be unto and peace. And now, where does peace come from? It says from God the Father. Okay, now the peace of God, okay, arrests, okay, the turbulences of the soul. Okay, it rests the turbulence of the soul. Okay, and by resting it, it's like what water does when it's put into a different environment. Okay, water is liquid and heat, but it changes its composition when put into another environment, like a refrigerator or a freezer. Okay, so when water is unstable, or as the scripture says, unstable as water. Okay, water is unstable in a liquid condition, but when it's put into a solidified condition, you can actually walk on it. Okay, so this is what the peace of God does. Okay, it unites the soul and the spirit together. You see, in you. Okay, unites the spirit and soul together. Okay, and it gives confidence of faith. Okay, it gives confidence of faith. Okay, and it shields and settles the soul. Okay, from the arrows of the wicked one. As the Apostle Paul says also, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Okay. So grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. Now he's governing our destiny through this form of nurturement. Okay, that's why he says the word Father there. Okay, through this form of relationship, okay, he's nurturing us with this knowledge. Okay, so that we, okay, as like flowers in a greenhouse, okay, would have a favorable environment, okay, for growth. Okay, so that this favorable environment for growth, okay, frees us from, okay, the environment which is outside the greenhouse. Okay, the greenhouse, you know, where you grow plants. Okay, and so it's a favorable environment. It's free from pestilence and from the changes of weather. Okay, and this is what the environment of Christ, which is a new culture. Okay, it's a culture because it's a different kingdom that works by different rules and by another spirit. Okay, it's a kingdom that's not of this world. It's a kingdom that's not built upon moral code. Okay, the kingdom built upon the moral code will collapse. That's the kingdom of Satan. Okay, but the kingdom which Christ built has to do with faith. Okay, and grace, faith, righteousness, the seal, truth, charity. Okay, it's built upon those stones. Okay, the virtue of God, okay, which lives forever. Okay, and the things that inhabit this kingdom is pestilence free. Okay, it's pestilence free, and it's also free from the external, the outside. Okay, from the weather. That we will continue to grow steadfast in Him because we're not focusing on those things of the world, okay, which constantly change like the weather does. We're focusing on the things which are from God, which is a constant. Okay, constant is controlled by Him. It's an environment controlled by Him, and through this He's nurturing us. Okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out in Hebrews also, chastening, scourging, cleansing, purging, right, through this favored environment. Okay, which the grace of God provides for us, richly provides for us. Okay, so Paul goes on here, verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now through the Lord Jesus Christ, he's talking about the eternal record. The eternal record has to do, see, that which he established for our faith to be expressed with at this present time. Okay, the tools which he provided for us at this time, okay, is sanctified and necessary, okay, to bring you to the next stages of his plan. Okay, that's why the Apostle Paul brings out in Galatians, in Corinthians there, okay, where it's concerning prophecies and tongues, okay, and knowledge. Okay, we get prophecies, they shall fail; tongues, they shall cease; and knowledge, they shall vanish away. Okay, now that's not applicable, okay, for the future. But that's applicable for the future, but not for right now. Because we need prophecy, we need tongues, and we need knowledge, okay, at this present time. But when we enter His fullness, as concerning the baptism of light, when we enter His fullness, these tools which we're presently using, which are in part, will not be necessary any longer, because we'll have the fullness of that. Okay, we'll be poured into Him. As He's been poured into us, we will be poured into Him. And now in verse 4, Paul goes on, now through this pattern, this record, which he's empowered, he gave himself for our sins. Okay, that is to remove us, not only removing us from the kingdom of darkness, but also removing the kingdom of darkness from us. Okay, so the word sins right there in verse 4 talks about what Satan sowed within us. The knowledge which Satan gave us when we were living by the moral code, okay, was abusive. Okay, it was abusive. Okay, it was oppressive. Okay, it was destructive. Okay, as Jesus assigned to Satan's honor these things, the thief. He assigned the word thief as a title, Satan. Okay, because the thief does nothing more than steal, kill, and destroy. The knowledge of the kingdom of darkness does those things. Okay, to the moral code of man, he keeps man in a state of unproductivity. Okay, by false knowledge. Okay, which of course works with fantasy, flattery, and finance. It works with the things of this world. Okay, the goals of this world, the honor of this world. Okay, which of course death is entered into. Death is entered into everything of this dimension, except the Word of God. Okay, death cannot touch the Word of God. Okay, it has no power over the Word of God. That's why Jesus says, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down for myself. Okay, death cannot even touch me because I am the Word of God. I am the vow of life and light. I freely give my life for the sins of the world. Okay, so who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us. Underline the word deliver. Okay, now the word might right there. Okay, it has to do with the option of the recipient, Okay, that's us. Okay, not the option of God. Okay, it wasn't an option on God's part. It's an option on our part. Okay, God already provided a pattern for deliverance, but will you accept it? Okay, now those which are not seeking the Lord, okay, will continually hide behind the barriers of the moral code. Okay, which has to do with tradition and false knowledge. Okay, and philosophy of this world. Okay, when a person sets a path to seek the Lord, okay, then the Lord will grant them grace. When the Lord sees that they're ready to depart, okay, to put aside, okay, these barriers. The same thing when the Lord split the Red Sea in half. Okay, on one side of the sea, it was philosophy of the world. On the other side of the sea was the tradition of man. Okay, when you keep your focus upon, okay, the plan of God, at that time it was Moses. Moses was the plan of God being unfolded in the third week, okay, or in the fourth week. Moses was unfolding the plan of God in himself, okay. And when the waters were divided, okay, left and right, okay, Moses, this was also symbolic of setting aside the barriers, okay, of one's moral code. Faith, okay, the faith provided an avenue of expression, and that's what we do. Faith is an avenue of expression, and we reciprocate with this knowledge, okay, for our deliverance, as the children of Israel did when they passed through the Red Sea. Okay, so when a person sets a path to seek the Lord, okay, they're no longer hiding behind the justifications of philosophy of this world, okay, nor the traditions of this world. Okay, when the Lord sees that a person sets a path to seek Him, then God will grant him grace, okay, to assist them, okay, which is we call the grace for salvation, okay, and then grace for growth. So now he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us. So the word might right there has to do with as concerning the decision of the recipient. Okay, he already provided a path for deliverance. Okay, but will we accept it by walking in rhythm of the Spirit? That takes knowledge. Okay, you have to have the holy knowledge of God to understand your responsibility for this to manifest itself, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Okay, in verse 4 there. According to the will of God and our Father. Now the word evil world right there has to do with a system, okay, that's permeated with false knowledge. Okay, and this world is flooded with false knowledge. Okay, the world is going to birth, okay, its king called the beast. Okay, and that's the reason why the word beast has been assigned to this man of sin. Okay, it's because he exhibits the ignorance of this world. He's the personification, okay, of man's ignorance, okay, and the glory of the moral code. His crown is the glory of the moral code, okay, which of course is the crown of Satan, because Satan uses the moral code against man. Okay, when Satan empowers the moral code, it keeps a person blind. Okay, but when a person seeks the Lord, okay, God removes those barriers so that faith can be manifested and deliverance would be present. So here he's going to deliver us from this present evil world. Now, the Apostle Paul saying this, okay, wasn't paranoid. He was saying this as bringing to our attention a point of discernment. Okay, so when he says, as the Apostle John did, okay, in 1 John 5:21, he says, little children, keep yourselves from idols, amen. He's talking about this present evil world. Okay, because an idol has to do with an image of philosophy. It's an image of a philosophy which one embraces to honor the moral code, okay, which you're building with. Idolatry. So the world lies in wickedness, as the Apostle John said. It builds upon the mystery of iniquity. It's calling good evil and evil good. It's calling the bitter sweet and the sweet bitter. Okay, and that is the mindset of the children of darkness, the children of this world, okay, and the prince that they're subject to, continue to exhibit their ignorance, as if their ignorance is great knowledge. Okay, but again, it just identifies the state of the soul that is corrupt, that death is eating their conscience. Now, who gave himself for our sins, and he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God. So underline the word will of God there in verse 4. Okay, and you can underline the will of God and right over that the power of the Spirit. Okay, according to the will of God, by the assisted ability of this power, okay, which joins us to him. According to the assisted ability, okay, of the power that joins us to him, which is the Spirit. So you can write the word power over will. Okay, this is what God is empowering. Okay, so that we can work and build in a kingdom that's invisible. So it's the will of God and our Father. So we can see that also this, through this right here, God and our Father, okay, that those which are building with God confirm the things of God. Now, the Apostle John said the same thing. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit. What the Apostle John is bringing to our attention, that there's other inspirations out there that are born, but not of the Spirit of God, but the spirit of this world. Okay, the spirit of this world, the children of disobedience. Okay, the children of disobedience, which want they want the acknowledgement, okay, and the affirmation and the confirmation that the moral code is righteous. And that's what we call false piety. False piety is also the deceitfulness of sin. The deceitfulness of sin, that sin can take on an image of goodness, okay, and yet be death. Okay, it's like a costume. Okay, or a masquerade. Now look at verse 5 here. Okay, we know that through this process of our faith, okay, and that in his issuance of grace, okay, the crown of peace, to whom be glory forever and ever, amen. Okay, that God has assigned us these things in verse 5. Glory to glory. So to him be glory forever and ever, amen. The gospel of Jesus Christ, okay, confirms this pattern. To whom be glory forever and ever, amen. Not to men, but to God. To whom be glory forever and ever, amen. So we can see the progressiveness of this. Okay, is of an eternal value. It will never fade away. Okay, the glory of man fades away, as the Apostle James brings to our attention. Okay, in chapter 1 of James. Okay, the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. Okay, it shall fade away because time will exact on it. Okay, and time is where death rules. Okay, death rules in time. Okay, but God rules over all things, and his kingdom is eternal. Okay, as the eternal things. Okay, that's why as long as we're tethered to the throne of God, okay, as long as we're walking within the priesthood, those things which God has sanctified, for our faith. Okay, that we're tethered from eternity to eternity. Okay, that our origin is no longer Adam, the soil, and death. Okay, but our origin has been removed from Adam and placed on Christ. Okay, is removed from death and placed on life. Okay, is removed from ignorance and placed and replaced. That was replaced. Ignorance was replaced with the knowledge of God. Okay, and by his knowledge, my righteous servant justified many, as the prophet said. Okay, and it's this knowledge that justifies us. Not the knowledge of the moral code, but the knowledge of faith. Okay, now verse 6, he says, the Apostle Paul is bringing to the Galatians' attention. He said that there was another gospel that was preached to you. Another message. Okay, this other message talked about Jesus. Okay, but it was the Jesus of the moral code. And by that, another spirit was working with it. Because this Jesus, which Paul is now bringing to their attention, there's two different kinds of Jesus. Okay, one that's of the image of man, the philosophy of this world, the flattery of this world, okay, the pursuit of the things of this world. And the other Jesus has to do with the humbleness of mind, increase of grace, okay, increase of faith, increase of charity, a priesthood, okay, a priesthood that's outside of that which is of the priesthood of man. Okay. Because the priesthood of man addresses the things of man. The priesthood of God addresses the things of God. Now in verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you in the grace of Christ unto another gospel. It says that in verse 6 there. Okay, and the Apostle Paul also brings out concerning what that other gospel contains. Okay, even in the book of Philippians. Now, in the book of Philippians, he talked about when he was trying to preserve the honor of his own moral code, okay, which he now calls dung, okay, he pursued those things which are this world. Okay, and now he says that in Philippians chapter 3. Okay, now, Philippians chapter 3, you can see in verse 4, he begins, though I might also have the confidence in the flesh. You know, that's the gospel, that's the other gospel he's talking about. Confidence in the flesh has to do with earthly things and that of the first covenant. Okay, earthly things and the first covenant. Okay, anything that has, which he brings out in Colossians, therefore, touch not, taste not, handle not, which shall perish with the using after doctrines and commandments of men. The doctrines and commandments of men are joined to carnal things, physical things. Okay, the commandments of God or is joined to that which is Christ. Okay, so he goes on. Now he talks about what he means by confidence in the flesh. Okay, and in verse 5 he says circumcised. Okay, circumcised the eighth day. Okay, the same thing today with tithing. Okay, people feel that tithing, okay, is sanctified by God to be to express your Christ with. Okay, but that's not the Christ that rose from the dead. Okay, that's the Christ of your imagination. Okay, the Jesus of your own moral code. Okay, not the Jesus which God sent. Okay, but one which is designed out of your own imagination. Okay, so then he goes on here. Circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew the Hebrews, is touching the law of Pharisee. Now he says the word touch there. Okay, the point of contact for his confidence is what? There's the word confidence and touching. He says confidence in the flesh, verse 4. And then he says touching the law. Confidence in the flesh, touching the law. Now, what does the law contain? Sabbath day, observing the Sabbath day, circumcision of the flesh, tithing, baptisms, communions. Okay, anything that's earthbound. Okay, it has to do with the commandment of man, or also known as the philosophy of this world, which the Apostle Paul brings out, and again in Colossians. Okay, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Okay, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Okay, but then he says, okay, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Okay, and that was in verse 3. Okay, and I just read some things out of Philippians and Colossians there. But we can see that when the Apostle Paul speaks of these things which are earthbound and of the flesh, okay, or another Jesus, he's talking concerning things touching the righteousness which is the law. Okay. And then he says, those things which are gained to me, I kind of lost for Christ. So he had to crucify, okay, the confidence of the moral code, which is of the law of Moses. Okay, and when he crucified the confidence of the moral code, okay, then he truly was alive unto God. Okay, but as long as he was using these things which are earthbound, he kept himself enslaved to iniquity unto iniquity, and unrighteousness unto unrighteousness. Okay, the other gospel. Now in Galatians chapter 1 again. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him. Now he says, he's saying this to Christians. Removed. Removed. Okay, you have broken the bone, and you have severed yourself, okay, from mercy. Okay, if you sever yourself from mercy, then you're being joined to wrath. If you sever yourself from mercy, you're being joined to wrath. Because the wrath of God abides, okay, upon those which are the law. For where the knowledge of the law is, okay, there is sin. Where the knowledge of the law is, there is sin. Romans chapter 4 talks about that. Okay, where there is no law, there is no sin. Okay, because faith replaces the law. Where faith replaces the law, there is no offense or transgression. Okay, but where faith is not being expressed, okay, then the law rules. And when the law rules, then those that practice that concept and perception and work with that power of seducing spirit are children of wrath. They have put themselves under the yoke of the curse. And we see that in the book of Revelation, okay, where God judges every aspiration of man. Okay, the oceans of blood, the rivers of blood, the hail, the fire, the brimstone, okay, the demon locusts, the demon horses, okay, sword, war, famine, and pestilence, okay, by the sword and by all sorts of plagues. Okay, he has assigned to every aspiration of man. Okay, because whatever man honors, he honors it because of the moral code. Okay, verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. There's the word grace again. That's why we want to spend a moment to define that. Okay, it's concerning the empowerment of this knowledge. Okay, God empowers knowledge. He not only gives knowledge, he empowers knowledge. As Paul said also in Galatians, or in Corinthians, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Okay, the power of God. Okay, the knowledge of God is empowered by him. Okay, and that's why it says faith of, or grace of Christ. Grace of Christ, which is the faith of Christ. Okay, he empowers this knowledge, which is joined to him. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, which is the priesthood of this knowledge, unto another gospel. And that's the gospel of men. The gospel of this world. Okay, which is ruled over and oversought by the prince of this world, Satan. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine this? That Satan redefined every word in the Bible. And he redefined it and fit it to the moral code of man. That's why, that's why God is now defining these things for us. When we were in the kingdom of darkness and we were held captive, okay, to that system. Okay, we our whole perception was bent on his word, not God's word, Satan's word. Okay, Satan was the one that defined grace for us when we were in his kingdom. Satan was the one that defined faith for us. Satan was the one that defined peace for us. No wonder why we were confused. Why is it that the Bible says one thing, but I don't have the power to follow this pattern? And all of us were at that state. Okay, all of us were at that that point of conflict. We all saw that barrier. Okay, why is it the Bible says holiness, but I'm struggling? Why does the Bible say righteousness, but I'm pursuing? Why does the Bible say faith, okay, but I don't understand it? And why does the Bible say grace, but yet I'm struggling for it? Okay, because we are Satan was the one that defined all those elements for us when we are in that kingdom. So we read the Bible, okay, and tried to intrude into the mysteries of God with a carnal eye. Okay, or with a moral code. We try to set everything in order by our own chaos, and that's impossible. You can't set order. You can't set order if you're in chaos yourself. Okay. So here he talks about the other gospel, and we read a few things about that in the book of Philippians. Okay, as concerning the righteousness which is of the law, okay, which has to do with the standard of that system. Okay, that system assigned a standard to it. Okay, which has to do with the man that that observes the law has to keep everything of that law. You just can't pick and choose what you want. You have to do everything that God said. Okay, as concerning the law. So a person that's tithing to gain the attention of God has to follow every precept of that first covenant, and God made it impossible. Okay, God made it impossible because he put a hostile force within the signature of man. Okay, a hostile force there, okay, which has to do with iniquity. Okay, that iniquity itself will keep man in a state of uncertainty, okay, until man will cry out to God for clarity, for purpose, for service, and for reward. Okay, but as long as man was finding within his own self, as if he was resolving his own conscience, okay, and trying to bring substance to his soul, okay, he would continually have to struggle, okay, with these things. Okay, what his purpose in life is. Our purpose in life is in the priesthood. Okay, we're building a kingdom. Okay, now the Apostle Paul makes distinction here in verse 7. And he says this. Now, the gospel, he says, really is not another. It's not another in historical sense. But it is another as concerning the foundation. Okay, so you might want to make a note on that. In verse 7, which is not another. Well, if it's another gospel, how could it be not another gospel? So the Apostle Paul is helping the Galatians to understand that the knowledge is the same, but the direction is different. Okay, it's the historical knowledge is correct as concerning God sent his son to be the savior of the world. Okay, Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. Okay, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Jesus rose from the dead. Okay, Jesus ascended into heaven. Okay, that is the fundamentals. Okay, but it's not the foundation. Okay, when we're talking about foundation, we're talking about knowledge that we build with. Okay, knowledge that we build with has to do with the work of Christ in the soul. Okay, so the other gospel has the same historical contents, okay, but takes a different direction by another power, and by a different spirit. Okay, so the foundation is different. Okay, so God at this present time, as he did in the first eighth week, Jesus provided the foundation himself. In the second eighth week, Jesus is providing, again, the foundation for the church to build on, okay, which is himself, his fullness. So when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, he's talking about his fullness. Okay, you have to come in contact with me now. You can't resource Moses for your righteousness. Okay, because the righteousness, which is the law, only addresses and brings to the attention the frailty of man. Okay, when it says, thou shalt not covet, okay, is that identifying your righteousness or is it identifying your struggle? Okay, if it's identifying your struggle, okay, then it was set there as a standard in order to, condemn you. Okay, the law condemned. Okay, and by the law, we are all condemned. So how can we escape condemnation? By not using the tools of the law. So therefore, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. As the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8. There is therefore no condemnation in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, okay, which is the law of Moses and the moral code of man, which the law of Moses addressed, okay, but in the power of God, okay, which walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that follow after the Spirit, or they that after the flesh are condemned by the law, but they that follow the Spirit are free to Christ. Okay, as Paul brings out there. Now let's go to verse 7 again. Which is not another. So it has the same historical contents, but it has no foundation. Okay, it's concerning your priesthood. All right, you can't build a priesthood on history. You have to build a priesthood, okay, on grace, not in history. Okay, when Jesus born the Virgin Mary, what does it have to do with my present circumstance and my faith and my priesthood? Nothing. It has nothing to do with that. Okay, the knowledge of it is sweet, Okay, the knowledge of is sweet, concerning, yes, Jesus born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus was born not by the rhythm of man, but by the power of God. So that's what we are. We are born again by not the rhythm of man, but by the power of God. See, our birth is by that same process. Okay, not of man, but of God. And if our birth is by the Spirit, then also our works must be by the Spirit. And Paul brings that out also in Philippians. Now made perfect, or not Philippians, but in Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, chapter 3, verse 2. This only when I learned of you, received the Spirit by the works of the law, by hearing of faith. Okay, this is where we'll be coming up to. So I'm just laying a little groundwork right here for you as we continually progress to the book of Galatians here. Okay, are you so foolish, he says, having begun in the Spirit? You got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How did you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit? By believing the law of Moses? Did you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit by just keeping the Ten Commandments? No, the Ten Commandments didn't give you the seal. Jesus Christ gave you the seal. That's why he said, I will give it to you. Not Moses, not the law. I will give it to you. Are you so foolish to have begun the Spirit and now may be perfect by the flesh? Again, carrying by the rhythm of Moses, or the rhythm of nature, okay, or the things of this world. Okay, so he therefore that ministers you to Spirit and works miracles among you, does he it by the works of law, by hearing of faith? Okay, let's go back here. So this other gospel, okay, addresses the frailty of man and the fear of man, okay, and the circumstances of life. And we'll see this here in a few verses. Okay, that the false gospel, okay, addresses relationships, issues, and the philosophies of this world. Okay, and is looking for world peace. Okay, but Jesus never said, as concerning his presence right here, is for world peace. He never said that. Okay, but man has taken it upon themselves to try to complete the will of God or fulfill the will of God in themselves by bringing about resolving these issues. If man would walk in covenant with God, then the peace of God will rule. Okay, equity comes only through faith. Okay, not the education which the world provides. Okay, which is not another, but there'll be some that trouble you. I don't know the word trouble there in verse 7. Okay, now the word trouble has to do with they bring conflict for your faith. Okay, they're bringing conflict to your faith by saying that unless you tithe, unless you're baptized, unless you partake of communion, unless you observe the Sabbath day, unless you're circumcised, you can't be saved. Okay, this knowledge troubles the soul. Okay, it chastens the frailty. Okay, but it doesn't bring clarity for faith. And we see this a lot as you watch TV ministers. They continually want to chastise you by making promises as concerning give more money, trust Jesus, and do this over here. Okay, as concerning whatever philosophy that they're embracing, they're putting people on a journey. Okay, as concerning a journey of self-improvement. Okay, self-improvement for God to get involved with your life. Okay, but that's the very opposite. Okay, of what God does. Okay, God involves himself in your life through covenant. Okay, God is not waiting for you to come to a point of realization and commitment before he gets involved. Okay, God gets involved at the point of your profession. Okay, confession, just like Jesus said to the thief on the cross, this day shall you be with me in paradise. Okay, what was it the thief could offer to Jesus to receive such a reward? Nothing. The thief had absolutely nothing to offer Jesus as concerning his person, his title, his money, okay, or his tithing. He didn't say, well, wait a minute, Jesus, let me reach into my pocket here and give you a few shekels here so that my soul will be redeemed. Now, if the thief tried, of course, the thief couldn't do that. He was rather nailed to the post there, wasn't he? So he couldn't move. He had nothing to offer. Okay, other than he said this, I believe that you are who you claim to be. And because he made that profession at that moment, okay, as Jesus was providing a covenant, okay, because he accepted that fact, because he says, I want to be joined to you, okay, Jesus, this day you should be with me in paradise. Okay, so there's nothing that the thief could offer, and there's nothing that we can offer, okay, as concerning our redemption, other than this, offering Christ, and we do that through the priesthood. Okay, and this is what the thief did. He reciprocated to Jesus, and that's what we do today. We reciprocated to our Lord. We reciprocate to Him every day. And we'll be doing this here in a moment, okay, offering our spiritual sacrifices. Well, let's go on here in verse 7. Okay, which is not another, he says, but there be some that trouble you. Okay, knowledge that disturbs the soul, addressing your frailty, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now he says the word pervert there. Okay, and the pervert, which means is to a form of contamination. Okay, he contaminates the purity of this gospel, this message. Okay, as he tries to intrude in spiritual things by his carnal thinking. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2, verse 14. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Okay, so the natural man works with carnal things. That's why that's why Paul called them carnal or natural, and why he also calls them carnal-minded. Carnal-minded, which means physical things. Okay, now he says in verse 8, now there are going to be people that are going to claim revelations from God, okay, but it's going to take you into the direction that's contrary to God. Okay, and we see this here. But though we are an angel from heaven, so we can see that the Apostle Paul is bringing another thing to our attention, that angels can bring messages. Okay, but do they confirm to Christ, or they confirm and conform to some other aberration, okay, or other system? Okay, we can see that that there were aberrations that confirmed, okay, other deities. Okay, even in ancient times, these things were manifesting themselves. Okay, as we see also even in modern day. Okay, when we see whole forms of religion were a result, okay, of this spirit, okay, of a spirit that claimed to be a messenger of God, okay, but was not confirming and conforming the record of Christ. It was confirming and conforming another record of history. Okay, or conforming a different pattern of righteousness, okay, as we see in many religions today. Okay, and that same spirit, the spirit that appeared to them, that put the put man on his journey, following that philosophy, is that same spirit, seducing spirit, that inflames the imagination and the moral code. Same spirit. So the people feel a sense of worthiness, and a sense of empowerment, a sense of purpose, and a journey. Okay, as they try to resolve issues and conflict, okay, with themselves for holiness. Okay, and as long as they're in that cycle of struggle, they're outside of covenant with God. See, but though we are an angel from heaven, he's not demonizing angels, and he's not demonizing revelations. He's just showing, okay, that these spirits can take these appearances and put you in a different path. Okay, not that which is in covenant, okay, in the priesthood of Christ, but a different path. Okay, the tethering and tutoring is different. Okay, when Satan appeared to Jesus, Satan was trying to get Jesus to follow his own record. That means Satan was trying to get Jesus to follow his record, Satan's record. Okay, when he says, if you will fall down and worship before me, I will give you all these things. Okay, if you follow my record, if you consent to my record, if you consent to my presence, okay, if you follow the tethering, tutoring, okay, of my kingdom, okay, then I'll bring all honor unto you, okay, and I will assist you. Okay, if you don't, then I'm going to inflame the imaginations of my children against you, okay, and they're going to try to, and they're going to throw you off the brow of this hill. Okay, they're going to attack you. They're going to ruin your ministry. Okay, they will. I will assign my children to continually, harass you. Okay, and to resist you and to persecute you. Okay, and that's what the Pharisees did. The Pharisees followed Jesus everywhere he went to make sure that whatever Jesus did, they will follow behind him and undo it. Okay, they would try to point out Jesus' frailties. See, and look, he eats with publicans and sinners. Okay, look, he turns water into wine. Okay, oh, look at this. He's breaking the Sabbath day. He speaks evil of the church. Okay. he cast over the money changers. Okay, so these were the temptations which Jesus faced And he says, you are they which have been with me through my trials and temptations. You have removed every barrier that Satan tried to set before you. And because you believed what my mission, okay, because you have believed who I am, who I said I am, okay, you were able to overcome all Satan's wiles, tricks to his people. Okay, so though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you. There's the word other again. Okay, any other gospel has to do with a different record, a different direction, different priesthood, okay, other covenant, usually without covenant. Okay, but preaching the gospel unto you, then that which we, now underline the word we there, circle the word we, and we'll finish up here. The word we right there has to do with the government of God. Okay, not a denomination. Okay, not the rules of a denomination. When the people of the denominations read this scripture right here in verse 8, they make application to those which disagree with them. The Apostle Paul was not standing, he was not standing in the light of denominationalism. Okay, he wasn't standing with, he wasn't saying this from the position of the false religious system. He was saying this from the position of the kingdom of God. Okay, so here he says, but though we are an angel from heaven preaching the gospel unto you, then that which we apostles have preached unto you, let it be accursed. Because he's removing this knowledge, which he's giving you, is removing you from the canopy of God's clemency, and is putting you into the house of wrath. Verse 9, as we said before, so say now again, if any man, denomination, system, preaching a gospel unto you, other than the record which we have given to you, okay, any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, that is from us apostles now, not from that denomination, let him be accursed.